And welcome to the program on this Thursday. It is somehow 108. And this is Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us today. We got a fun show for you, including Dumb Off Trivia this afternoon. We got a few ag topics that we're going to be covering. And our guest today, a garlic agronomist, Jason Trowbridge, will be joining us at the 120 segment, I believe. Guys, Bridget Dean, what's going on? How's your day been?
Pretty good.
I feel like we have a lot to cram in today in a short amount of time, so everybody better saddle up.
Yeah, it's time to buckle up because we got to just rip through all this stuff here because our guest will be joining us in like 12 minutes or something. So we'll touch on our topics. We'll hit on a little bit of CBD in horses, bird flu, mammals to mammal spread.
High horses?
High horses,
so
buddy.
That gives a new meaning to get on your high horse and get out of here, huh?
Oh, yeah, off your high pedestal.
Get off your high horse.
Or get your head out of the clouds.
Well, for those who don't know, you can get a DUI on a horse.
You can.
But
and
if
a lawnmower.
Your horse
and a
has
bicycle.
Been taking CBD oil, does it affect the situation? Probably
CBD
not, because the horse is just taking it for inflammation.
You ever seen a high horse before?
I have seen some pretty tall ones.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, that's anything over a Shetland pony.
It's okay, Bridget. Thanks. 4'12" isn't that short.
I have the inseam of a garden gnome. It's working out fine for me.
She just needs the hat to go along with it.
We can find the hat.
Well, anyway. That's why my hair's up today, so the hat fits right. Perfect.
Anyway, we'll be doing a check on the forecast here in a little bit as well. But do you guys want to get some Dumb Off Trivia out of the way? You want to do that now or at the end of the show?
All ready.
You want to do it now? All right.
There you go.
Here's how we're going to do it today.
It is time to determine who has the biggest smart in the Dumb Off.
I didn't know you were friends
with
Morgan.
Here are the rules.
Yeah, he's a nice
Dean,
guy, actually.
Justin,
cool.
Bridget, and Addison will play on the listener's behalf. They will go through two or three rounds of the most grueling trivia questions on the planet. Whoever has the most points at the end will be awarded the big smart. The contestant they're playing for will win a prize, and all contestants will be entered into a drawing for the grand prize.
Oh, this ought to be good. This will either be the greatest or dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so we're going to do things a little differently today. For Bridget, you're playing for Jessica S. Dean, you're playing for Doreen G. I'm playing for Sam B. Yes, Dean, say it.
Good luck, Doreen.
Yeah, thank you for not saying it. What we're going to be doing is Addison's going to ask us a handful of trivia questions, and we're going to say our name instead of just blurting out the answer to signify who gets to answer it first. So if you think you know the answer, Dean, you need to say Dean first.
Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Or you're just ruining the whole bit.
Okay.
So why don't we start this off? Addison, what's our first question for the day?
All right. Everyone prepare to have your big smarts truly tested.
Red today. And orange.
Yes. No. All right. Today's first question is, which NASA rover landed on Mars in August of 2012?
Justin. Curiosity.
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, I was going to call him Fido.
Fido? That's a cute name.
You can't just name the rovers randomly. I mean, you can. That's what they do, but...
Wow. I can't believe I got that one.
Good guess.
I didn't know that one.
Can you name all three of them, though?
There were three of them?
Yeah. The answer is that. Next question.
All right. In 2016, a plane fueled by which kind of energy completed the first round-the-world trip of its kind?
Dean. Solar.
What?
No. Bridget is going to say sustainable aviation fuel.
Justin, your answer?
So,
gasoline.
Dean was correct.
Why did you just say it off the bat?
Because I wanted to hear what everyone else had to say.
You should have seen Bridget's face when I said solar. Like, what in the heck is he thinking?
Solar.
You too.
Yeah. Well,
Addison asked for fuel. I'm like,
no, he said what kind of energy?
Solar.
Wasn't it? What kind of energy?
Let me reread the question here. In 2016, a plane fueled by which kind of energy completed the first round trip of its kind?
I heard.
Okay.
I heard fueled.
The answer is solar, and apparently the plane's name was the Solar Impulse 2. It completed the flight in 16 months.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's not a very fast plane.
It's a very slow airplane.
They better have...
Must have been a hot air balloon.
They better have on-flight cocktails there. In-flight cocktails.
Did you know you can get a DUI in a hot air balloon?
Shut up!
Good to know.
Only Justin
And there's a theme today.
DUIs. Dean?
I'll have to ask Governor Walz.
Which U.S. state grows the most fresh peaches?
Dean.
Georgia.
Did everyone just say their names?
Well, Dean got in first. I was going to... Is it Georgia?
Georgia.
No.
Whoa. Really?
Not according to my 2016 Hasbro trivia card.
Bridget's got her hand up.
Well, she's got to say her name, but she already did.
I did say my name.
Yeah, you did.
So, Florida.
No.
I'm going to go with California.
No.
All right. No, what was it?
South Carolina.
Man, we suck.
Wow.
The Tar Heel State.
The card literally says, sorry,
no.
Georgia.
Yeah, I know.
Does it?
I was hoping to get a reaction
Carolina?
Out of Dean.
North Carolina's Tar Heels, not South Carolina.
I know.
Stop that. Okay.
I was waiting to get a reaction out of Dean, but he didn't pick it up.
I wasn't listening.
He doesn't listen to me very often.
Yeah, I don't.
That's such a mood.
All right. What's our next one?
All right. Which two-letter acronym describes a pair of modern glasses that can display a 3D video feed? That is a very in-depth way to describe what this is.
I
repeat the question.
I think the timer's going to hit this one.
Which two-limit acronym describes a pair of modern glasses that can display a 3D video feed?
Bridget. AI.
No.
If you're going to use an acronym.
I ain't got nothing on this one.
What Any is guesses?
No clue.
What is it?
VR.
Gosh.
It
Jesus,
is not how I would describe what a VR
Virtual
glasses
reality.
Are.
Wow. Goggles, wow. Why didn't I think of that? Man, we do have the big smart today.
It is.
That
it
one's
is.
Out.
What is that question number four? What do we got here?
All right. Which country was the first to grant rights to nature in its constitution?
Dean.
Oh, Justin.
Man. Okay.
You said your name and you don't have an answer?
It's either.
I gotta say it first and come up with something. Wait.
Let's see. It's either California.
You get
Oregon
one answer.
Or Washington.
You get one.
We're gonna
it's
go.
It's a country. He said. He said a country, not a state.
Oh, I thought you said state.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest.
Time's up.
When I read the answer card, I felt bad. I forgot this was a country. It is Ecuador.
Well, I was gonna guess
Ecuador is.
I would have guessed Ecuador.
Would you have?
I would have guessed Ecuador.
Yeah. Well, like. Yeah. Right.
All right. What's the next one? Man, we suck at this.
This entire day's trivia is going right down the tubes.
Yes. We got to go back to the old sheets.
I don't know. We've gotten two of them so far. I mean, they're interesting. Yeah.
They are good questions.
Yeah, they're hard.
They're not easy.
Good questions. All right, watch this. Which French general sent the key to the Bastille to George Washington in 1790?
Holy moly. Jeez, there's no way you know what this is.
Do you know?
I'm going to say Napoleon.
No.
I don't know. Pierre?
But I got to use the cowbell.
Yeah. No. You know what? It's a French name. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
You know, I bet you Ronnie doesn't even know what that answer is.
How about Juan Pierre?
No.
No.
If he's French, how about Bordeaux? Little wine over there?
No, but I like Bridget's idea. I like that train of thought.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Thank you.
Something along the lines of, if anyone who can speak French is listening, I'm sorry. This is Marquis de Lafayette?
Would have been my next
Marquis
guess. Lafayette.
Lafayette. Well, naturally, yes, of course.
Naturally.
This would have been the next guess.
So we're tied 1-1, right?
Guess. Well, you and me are tied 1-1. Why don't we see if we can get a tiebreaker in here? That was one round, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't have time for so let's just go for our tie round.
All right. Here's
Bridget, you have a chance to tie, though, since you don't have any points.
Have bell. We'll go. That's because I'm on a 1-second delay.
We'll see if that bell makes up for the delay.
You gamers and your lag. All right. Easy question. The hardest question so far.
Lafayette.
No. Napoleon. Okay. What part of a flower produces...
Dean.
Pollen.
You can't finish the question.
Dean. Stamen.
Yeah. He's so proud of himself.
He's always proud of himself.
He is.
Do a little victory dance there, Dean.
Can I shut my camera off for this?
Just a dance. Yeah, we can shut it off. We got to go to break anyway. Here's your American Ag Network update.
Oh, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. So glad that you are joining us today. And thank you to Red River Retention Authority for being one of our Here We Grow sponsors. After a little bit of rainfall this morning, I can say it was nice to know that a lot of that dam rehabilitation work is being completed. And it takes a minute to remember that phrase because it doesn't just roll right off the tongue. So thanks to those folks, as well as to Gowan Company with the Fiance Fungicide. If you have had an opportunity to spray that as a two mode of action fungicide, you're going to realize that what a benefit of not having to worry about white mold in soybeans, dry edibles, and so much more. All right, Big Iron is coming. Do not forget to get in your corn bushel yield guesses for our Here We Grow project. Intelligent Farms is helping us with a grain gauge giveaway, and we're also giving a rain gauge away. You can give us your guesses on our Facebook page, Weather and Ag in Focus, and there'll be drawing boxes for the grain gauge with us at Weather and Ag in Focus when we're at Big Iron. It'll be when we're on air at our show. And then also the IntelliFarms booth will have it as well. In fact, I just saw Chris yesterday at Dakota Fest, and we talked about the fact that we'll have that opportunity for folks to put their names in for the grain gauge to monitor the full levels in their grain bins. And speaking of all the different things that happen in agriculture, well, that's one of our segments today is with our guest, and our guest is Jason Trowbridge. Jason is a agronomist near Lethbridge, Alberta. Jason, how are you?
Good, Bridget. How are you?
Really well. So I'm a little bit familiar with the Lethbridge area. It has a variety of specialty crops, and we're going to talk about garlic today, but what else do you raise in that region?
Oh, it's almost too numerous to mention. We have, I think, 57 to 60 different crops that we can raise. We have huge irrigation acres. Potatoes is a really big one right now. I have many thousand acres of broad acre farms, you know, the typical stuff, wheat, barley, corn silage, a lot of canola. We do all kinds of wheats, CPS wheats, hard red spring wheat, durum, you name it. We've got into even this year, I've got a grower doing quinoa.
Oh, wow.
I grow some really interesting different crops, and some of the food crops are coming on pretty big. Guys are looking for something that has a little better margin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not in this for a volunteer situation. We got to make some money while we're farming. So let's start with garlic, although I cannot wait to ask you questions about quinoa. Where do we start? Meaning, when I am supposed to plant garlic in my garden, I'm told to plant in the fall. Let's walk through that cycle of planting with garlic in that region.
Yeah, okay. So we're not too much different weather from North Dakota. I think we're pretty close. You guys probably get a lot more rain than we do. But I first dipped my toe into the garlic market in 2020 in the fall. We bought some garlic and we decided we better get it seeded. Asked for a little bit of advice from some growers. They said seed it late in the fall. So we seeded it really late in the fall. We were October. And we literally didn't even have straight rows. We just stuck a shovel in the ground and dug some holes and planted some garlic, and it snowed the next day.
So hold on. You planted this by hand, and how much did you plant at that time?
Well, we started really small. We sorted the heads out, and we planted 126 cloves. So that was dipping our little toe into it. And I would suggest that for anybody. Don't try to get too big too fast. Garlic can throw some curveballs at you. It's not difficult to grow, but it can do some funny things. So fall time is the best time to seed. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So when you say you started with that 125 cloves, where did you go to now? What's the size of the operation?
We just harvested 6,000 plants this year.
Wow.
So we jumped up pretty big, pretty fast. But at 6,000 heads, I'm pretty small compared to a lot of my growers.
It's a lot of
if you can believe that. I've got guys that are growing up to 20 acres of garlic.
Oof. Man. Jason Jason, what's out of all the crops that you're growing there, what would you consider as the most difficult to grow?
The most difficult? Things like watermelons.
You grow watermelons?
Right now, actually, we're having quite a challenge with any of the cold crops, cabbages, broccoli, cauliflower, because of our little friend, the flea beetle.
Oh, he's not that friendly.
Those are all, yeah, those are all related to that, to the brassica, the canola. And the flea beetles are just wreaking havoc on any of the cold crops. So those ones now, what we've come down to doing is we net them. We actually put nets over them and grow them under netting.
Oh, good idea.
Okay, I got to go back to the garlic for a minute here. So just harvested 6,000 plants. How are you planting and how are you harvesting? Mechanically or by hand labor?
He chuckles.
Yeah.
This was the first year that we had a little bit of mechanical help, but it was all planted by hand. So I just finally got a 3-point hitch tractor last year. And so I had a, what they call a middle buster. It's just basically one single sweep on one part of the hitch. I made trenches.
I used one
in
my garden.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And so
okay,
I just made trenches with it. And you want to seed, 4 to 6 inches deep on garlic. So I just made my trenches. Okay. It just happened that it left me two perfect little lines about 8 inches apart. So I seeded double rows. So each row that my tractor made, I had two rows of garlic 8 inches apart behind the tractor. And the cloves were put in the ground by hand.
Jeez.
There was no mechanical assist. Okay. There's lots of stuff on the market for bigger guys. And once you get past where we're at 6,000 plants, you probably want mechanical assistance.
How long does it take to harvest 6,000 plants?
Depends how much help you have. This year, that was the big challenge. I work with some Hutterite colonies, and I've got one colony. They do about 1.25 acres, and they get everybody in the colony there, and they can harvest in about 3 hours.
Wow.
Because they have 60, 65 people picking up cloves. For me and my wife, we had 22 double rows that were about 100 feet long for the 6,000 plants. And it took us parts of 5 days. Hmm. So, yeah, it was, and we dug with the middle buster. We put that down in the ground to loosen the cloves, loosen the heads. Because you can't pull these things unless you dig them.
Really?
They're anchored to the ground. They've got a... You'll pull the stalk right out of the clove, right out of the head.
Oh, wow.
Like they are anchored in there because we seed deep. Mm-hmm. So we're seeding deep to start with. And they put on... I would guess if you've got a decent root system on them, those roots can go down another 10 inches. And there's hundreds and hundreds of roots in a tight little shaft of roots. So even when you loosen them, you bring that up and you've got probably a pound of dirt on there to get off. Wow. And that's one of the biggest things is getting that dirt off the roots.
Is there anything tricky when it comes to growing garlic, concerns to watch out for that could kind of ruin a crop at all?
One of the things is bad agronomy advice, honestly. And this is my pet peeve across all of the crops that we grow. The industry in general and many agronomists are just addicted to nitrogen like crazy. So one of the first things that garlic growers have said, well, we need a big plant to make a big head. And that's true to an extent. But the big plant is not generated by excessive nitrogen. What happens with garlic and with other plants, when you have too much nitrogen, your cell walls actually get thin. And the plant is susceptible to disease and predators and lots of other issues. And too much nitrate inside the plant works like a free radical, actually destroying the plant from the inside out.
Okay,
so
I can barely keep up with all the... Jason, the amount of questions I have coming in over here are huge. I'm just trying to keep up with all of them. But It's 1:31. We need to take just a moment here to catch up with bottom of the hour news. When we come back, I want you to finish your discussion where you were just mentioning, you know, the free radical, the destruction of the cell wall. Then I have questions that are related to what kind of pests, weed control, planting depth, fertilizer plans, soil type, size of clove. I got a lot coming in over here. We have many more questions to ask Jason Trowbridge. He's our guest. We're talking about growing garlic, not just in the garden, but on a production scale. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And our discussion is with Jason Trowbridge. He's from the Lethbridge, Alberta area. He is talking about garlic production. And we're not just talking in the garden, because he just was describing planting 6,000 cloves. And so, okay, many, many questions here. You mentioned how you're planting them, Jason, you know, using the middle buster, putting them in. And then you said harvest was essentially the same, where you use the middle buster to loosen the ground. But do you have to go along and pick up all those cloves by hand, or do you have some way of rolling them up in a windrow and picking them up mechanically?
No, that's the issue, is that they have to be all picked up by hand when you do it that way. There are harvesters on the market, but I mean, you're starting to talk big dollars. And okay. I've looked a few. You can Google some and you can see them work, and they're pretty neat. But you'd be wanting a big market. And it's right now, that's a little bit beyond my scope of of ability.
Now, you mentioned, you know, the size of these as well, you know, when you pick them up and they have such a heavy root system. You sent us a photo. This would have been, I think, some early planted cloves. If we could look at that one, I think that was maybe the first one that you'd sent over. When you describe these, is it bigger than what someone's buying in the grocery store? Just give us a little bit of a visual for those who aren't able to see this on our live stream today.
Yeah, so these are this year's production. We just got them started to clean up, and so we're just sorting. We haven't really dug through them too much to see the biggest ones. And this is the first year I've sorted according to size. The first year that we did this, we actually hit 4-inch heads. We had 4-inch heads, and everybody said you couldn't do it, and I hit it the first year. And I haven't been able to hit it since, because we've had some issues. The second year we got hail. The third year we got grasshoppers. Oh. This year I had a problem with weeds. Weeds got away on me, and it was a little bit tough to keep up to the garden because I was so busy with my other agronomy work. But we had I always do some experiments. I'm the kind of agronomist that somebody says, oh, we always do it this way. And I say, why? Well, because daddy did it that way and granddaddy did it that way and everybody just does it that way. And I said, why? And so I always test things. So one of the things I tested this year is we seeded a lot of little cloves just to see how many big cloves we could get back out of seeding small. And it's not worth it. That's one of the wives' tales that's true. Seed the biggest cloves possible to get the biggest garlic back. The picture you've got up there, that's March. And if you look in really close, you can see the little sprouts coming out. There's still snow in the trees. And those guys, they will come up early. And so the other thing that we found this past season is I seeded a row of smalls next to a row of bigs. The small cloves produced about 40% of what people consider saleable. So saleable garlic is like golf ball size and bigger. And if you get smaller than the golf ball, then it gets a little tougher to sell. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's tough on the plant. So when you get these plants come out so early, in March we had them emerged. We had cold weather all through April. We had frost. The last frost in Alberta this year was June 6th.
Oh.
And so there was some damage to some leaves. The one picture that you see there, you can see the structure of the rows. They're double rows, seeded just with my little Kubota tractor. Kind of that's decided the width of the rows. That's after a foliar. So I experiment with a lot of foliar nutrition. The garden that I've got, the soil is amazing. It is some of the richest soil you'll get back on a soil test. The only thing I'm a little bit low on is I'm a little bit low on calcium and a little bit low on copper. But other than that, I am through the roof on all my nutrients. And still, the foliar has an impact because the plants, under stress, under the cold stress this year. They were looking a little limp. When they first come out of the ground, the leaves are very soft, much like onion leaves. It's the same family as onions. And foliar nutrition very, very early in the season works extremely well with garlic. These plants were looking pretty sad 2 days before this picture was taken. It took 2 days for them to respond to the foliar.
So when you say foliar, are you talking like a liquid 28% or something along those lines for a fertilizer?
Nope, because if you go to a liquid 28, you're going to burn leaves again. So my foliars are all based on orthophosphate. Okay. So polyphosphate taken and reacted with potassium hydroxide. A lot of companies have good products out there. So the product I use is from a company called Omex. They have a product called NutriBoost. It's a 517.6 is what it's analyzed at, with micronutrients and stress relievers. And the stress relievers basically help to promote cytokinin production in the plant, which keeps the plant from being stressed. It's the hormone that plants have to say, okay, it's all right. You know, you're not going to die from the frost, you know, take it easy. And away you go. And the other thing that I use a lot of boric acid. Boron is so incredibly important in the plants. I add boron with everything.
All the gardeners out there just wrote down. Every gardener out there just wrote down boron. They're planning on using boron.
Good for them.
Hey, Jason, I'm looking at your rows there, and it looks like there's quite a bit of soil that's exposed in between these garlic plants. I've never seen garlic. Does it not really bush out much? Is it more kind of grow like chives? I'm looking at this from a distance, or is it eventually kind of fill out and close those gaps at all?
Those will mostly fill in the rows when they're bigger, but this is the next stage that we've gotten to. I've got growers now that they'll seed a cover crop of oats probably in July, and they'll seed into that. They'll take either that row and they'll just disturb that row, or they seed in with planters that will actually seed right into the green crop, and then they have ground cover all winter. The other thing, I've got another grower, he just told me his secret. He uses corn silage, and he'll mulch the garden with corn silage.
And how about...
And both.
How about after when you... after harvest, how do you store the garlic? Is there a special way of doing this, or just keep it dry and dark like a potato?
Kind of, that's your basic thing. You have to let it dry first. So harvesting, again, this is one of the things that everybody said, you have to harvest garlic 1st of August. And I said, why?
Okay.
Well, that's just when you do it. And I'm like, why?
Bet.
And they said, well, that's just when you do it. And I said, so I'm like, no, there has to be a better explanation. So you harvest garlic when you've still got green material in the leaves. Each leaf on a garlic plant produces a layer of what we call paper. It's actually a skin over the entire bulb. And so you can get 8, 9, 10 leaves on these plants. And they sort of look like ferns, I guess. I don't know. That's the best description you can get. They're an interesting plant. Once you've seen one, you can never mistake it. And so what you want to do is you want to make sure you've still got a lot of green material in, because the heads haven't opened up. If you wait until the plant dries off completely, what happens is that head opens up, and then you get dirt in there. And of course, as soon as you've got dirt inside the head, you've got more chance of pathogens starting to cause decay and spoilage in things. So the picture that you saw of the nice clean ones, they were the first ones we harvested, because we had a few challenges with timing. Some of our later ones have opened up a little bit, and we'll have to actually open those heads up and sell the cloves individually.
I see. And what about for somebody at home? I think you had mentioned this earlier, but I can't recall. Is this seeds, or are you just planting little tiny bulbs from within the head of the garlic? If someone wanted to grow garlic in their backyard garden, how would they go about doing it?
Okay, so garlic is like potatoes, that we're actually cloning the plants. So when you seed a whole clove of garlic, you're cloning that clove. And that's how you get the best result immediately. During June, approximately, the garlic will send up, the hardneck varieties that we grow, will send up a seed pod. And we call them scapes. So the scape comes up, and it pigtails around at first, and it makes a seed bulb on the end of it. Now, we cut those off to put more energy back into the head. But if you want to collect seed, you let that mature. And that seed pod, they call them bulbils, you can plant that seed, but the first year you'll just get a little onion-like structure. You won't get a full head with cloves in it. And so then you've got to let it go over another winter. You'll get a small head the second year. And then if you keep separating it and growing it, you will eventually get some size. But it's a 2 to 3 year process if you do it from seed, where if you get some big cloves first, you've got garlic the first year.
Okay. Cool.
So once you've harvested your cloves, Jason, and you said you were sorting them for size this year, how long can they store? And where are you selling them? Do you have a target market that your garlic goes to?
So we've just been putting Facebook ads up, Facebook Marketplace. And I put the ad up yesterday, and I've already had 4 responses. We've got a lot of growers. There's probably at least 8 ads on Facebook in the Southern Alberta area around Lethbridge. Mm-hmm. We're probably the only ones right in Lethbridge that are selling. And so that gives us a bit of an advantage for, you know, because we've got 100,000 people in Lethbridge right now. Other guys, they want to sell faster. And so, of course, you know, by Facebook, you're selling a pound here, 2 pounds there. And you have to deal with a lot of silly questions. but that's fun. I mean, that's part of the fun of it. I like people, and I like silly questions.
Oh, yeah, that's cool to do it on a small scale local thing as well. If somebody on a small scale, say backyard garden, if someone's looking for a little, I don't want to say easy, but just for layman's term, a little easy side gig and grow some garlic in their backyard, is there a decent little chunk of money that could be made if someone at home just wanted to grow a little backyard garden of garlic and try and sell it to their local community as well? Or is it not kind of worth the time you got to put in it for something on a smaller scale?
It really depends on the market. If you've got a market that will accept it, that's huge. So, you know, today's society, a lot of people don't cook anymore. It's skip the dishes or fast food or whatever. And, but we love the flavor of garlic, and we started out like everybody else. We were buying the Chinese stuff out of the store, 99 cents for 3 little tiny cloves. Mm-hmm. But you had to use all 3 heads to get any flavor. Mm-hmm. And so we got into it. We started buying garlic from one of the colonies that I consult for. And what pushed me into growing my own was he was sold out so fast that I couldn't even get there sometimes to get garlic from him.
Wow.
And so he's been doing it for 35 years. He's got a market built up, and he doesn't charge a lot for his product, but he sells it in big, big drafts. And so he has guys that will come and buy, you know, 500 to 1,000 pounds at a time. And
wow.
He likes to ship it out that way, get it gone in a month, get the paycheck in his pocket, and go on to other things.
Right.
Some of these gardens I'm working with, they're bringing in 6 figures.
Oh, good for them.
On 10 acres.
Wow. Good for them.
Yeah. It's fantastic. A good crop of garlic. You could gross, if you didn't save any seed from it, you could gross up to $50,000 an acre.
I'm tearing up my backyard.
Wow.
Man, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Justin, get rid of the lawn.
Full-time garlic farmer here. Sorry, guys. You got to find someone else to run this show.
Jason, I'm guessing that's got to be the most profitable crop that you've got.
No, not even close.
Mm-mm. Melons.
Not even close. Carrots are doing about $80,000 to $100,000 an acre.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who'd have guessed carrots?
Yeah, you got to tear up your backyard, buddy.
Yeah, I'm tearing it up, man. We're doing a small veggie farm in the backyard. No grass.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm rent the neighbor's backyard.
But, you know, that's the thing is that the labor is just what kills most people. Garlic isn't that hard. The two hardest times are seeding and harvest.
Well, if you got to do it all by hand.
Other than that, it's tinkering. Well, when when you do it by hand, it is more work. But you also get a better response when you do it by hand. So if you seed with a planter, the planter doesn't know up from down on the cloves. And if the cloves get seeded upside down, that stalk has to run around the whole bulb and go up. And, you know, it does affect it a little bit. You lose a little bit of size the more that are upside down than not.
Well, I think they've found that
it's with not the
corn,
end of the world,
too.
But
even in corn with something as small as corn, I mean, you plant it upside down, you're setting it back. What is it, Bridget? Is it a half a week?
Yeah, it's several days. It'll set that back. And you can see that happen with a number of plants that it just takes that much longer to get them up and out of the ground.
Well, you look at a year like this too. I mean, 3 days is going to make a pretty big difference on a lot of crops up here. Well, I guess down here.
down here, according
to
Jason.
I'm not used to saying down here.
Yep, down there, according to that. There. Yep.
Wow, very interesting. Cool.
Jason, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this. This has been fantastic, and we really appreciate it. And if folks are interested and want to ask you questions, you mentioned using Facebook. Are there other places you'd like people to reach out with questions or to do business with you?
Yeah, they want to buy your garlic.
Anybody wants to buy garlic, absolutely. You know,
I do.
It's something that, you know, I think it's reachable for everybody to grow a little bit for themselves and maybe a couple neighbors. Mm-hmm. But it's also something that if somebody's really looking to expand their operation, you know, and they've only got maybe a quarter section and they can't get enough acres to farm commercially, you know, growing corn and soybeans, you know, there are other options out there. And I think that's fantastic for people to look into.
Ah, man. And they can reach out to you via Facebook. I know you through Twitter. Are there other places?
Twitter's probably the easiest place. That's where I do most of my socializing with. But it's if they want to call me, I mean, I can provide my number. And if anybody wants to call me, I'm willing to take some time on the phone and absolutely give them a hint.
You
can DM it to me. If I get any responses, I'll make sure to share that with you. How's that sound? Then we don't have to broadcast your phone number across the whole world.
That works.
That sounds fine. Yeah, I don't need 25 phone calls in the next 3 seconds. So that's good.
thank you again, Jason, for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. And folks, we're going to need to make sure that we catch up on weather. We haven't even done that yet. So stick around. We're going to do that next. Be right back.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us on this Thursday. It is 1:56:35 right now. We've got a couple minutes left of the program, and I think a lot of folks are considering a side gig of growing garlic, and I think I might be one of those people.
Man, that's a lot of money per acre.
Well, even not even on an acre. Yeah. I mean, if you just throw something in your garden, and let's just say you grow a 50-by-50-foot garden of garlic, I mean, you could bring in I would imagine a few $100 in the fall or spring.
In the summer. You're doing it in the summer months. I mean, he said there's people that told him he had to harvest in August, but he looked at it differently.
Don't know what they're talking about, Bridget.
He's like, I'm going to do it when I think it's right. And I've already had two text messages with people asking me how to contact Jason. And we didn't even talk about like the quinoa and some of the other really specialty crops that will be raised in that area.
Well, I think we need to have Jason come back on and talk about quinoa and watermelons and carrots.
Yeah, why is
it so
hard?
He could come on each day for one crop.
Why is it so hard to grow a watermelon?
I could tell you.
I'll find out. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon.
Oh, the whole watermelon, muskmelon, honeydew.
Speaking
cantaloupe.
Of what, you want a little trivia question here?
You know, why don't you hit me?
Let's see if you know. I know
hit
Bridget. Bridget will know this. What percentage of watermelon consists of? You want to try again?
No, I'm over it.
What percentage of watermelon consists of water?
What percentage?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's high. It's mostly water. Oh, did you?
Justin?
I don't know the number, but
97% because it's a slug.
Bridget?
It's not. Because Bridget's a slug?
Yeah, right. That wasn't nice.
Well, no. Well, Bridget, you did say the body consists of 97% water.
Was it water? I did.
It's 92%
water in watermelon. Well, I guess that's why it gets its name. Hey, guys, guess what?
We're out of time.
See you later. Bye.
We're done.